So I want us to focus on the purpose statement that we have, because it's our subtitle, if you want to put it that way. It's a subtitle, it's our purpose statement. But it's the why. It's the why God has led us to do this series at this time. Here it is. We're going to prepare for 2018 by asking God to deepen our collective understanding and experience of praise and worship of Him. We're going to prepare for 2018. We don't know what 2018 holds. There's going to be a lot of ordinary in 2018, no doubt. There's going to be a lot of joy in 2018, no doubt. But no question, there's going to be some waves. Some big waves, some loud waves, some unexpected waves in 2018. We all know that. And so we need to prepare for that. I want us to be prepared for that. I saw my dad in the ER a week ago. I shared this with you. And when he was in the middle of the emergency room a week ago, he was quoting scripture. There was a sense of God being with him in that emergency room in the middle of a very uncertain time for an 88-year-old man. That was striking to me. And I realized my dad has prepared for that for 88 years. And it showed up. And I want you to have that same. I want to have that same experience of the nearness of God when I'm in the emergency room, when I'm in a wave. We just don't know when that's coming. But we want to prepare for that. So we want God to deepen. That's a significant word in this subtitle. That means change. That means growth. Sometimes growth means change, and as you've heard from me already, change is not comfortable. But God often calls us to growth and change. So he's going to ask us to deepen, no doubt, our collective understanding experience. Collective, important word. We talk about this over and over again. We come here, yes, by some sense of volition, by some sense of will in our own minds and hearts on Sunday mornings. But we can't forget the fact that God summons us to this place. He calls us. We would never have that thought to come here had not God put that thought in our heart, in our mind, in our volition. So even the fact that we're coming today is of God. He summons his followers together. And here's the particularity for us at Christ Community Church. He is calling us to this place, to this hour, for his purposes. You know, we didn't get to pick our earthly families, but God does some of his best and deepest work in those people around us that we didn't choose. So embrace the fact that you didn't get to pick everybody that's coming to Christ Community Church, but God did, and he knows what we need. And so he has called this group of people at Christ Community together for purposes. It's going to be a collective focus. What is God going to do in our collective heart, souls, minds, and strength and bodies over the course of this week? But he wants to deepen our collective understanding. That's an important word too. That makes us think of our mind. God is going to challenge our thinking. Our minds are going to be involved. He's going to challenge our collective understanding. It's our minds. But he's also going to deepen our collective understanding and experience. It's not just a cognitive experience ordeal here. It is an understanding and an experience. And that word experience then connotates to us our wills, our spirits, our souls, and our bodies. It's holistic. It's everything that we are as a created human being of God. That's what God wants to touch and be involved with over the course of this series of our worship for the rest of time. So he's going to collectively deepen our understanding and our experience. But here it is, and this is the most important part without question. Praise. Praise of God. Yes, we as humans want to be ready for 2018, whatever it holds. But the biggest way we can be prepared is to put God in the biggest and the most central place in our beings and our hearts. The big deal is Him, not us necessarily, in 2018. You see, as we grow in our experience and our understanding, He, God, will get center. He will get bigger. He will get louder. He will get stronger. And if there's anything that you and I need in the waves in 2018 is a big, loud, strong, sovereign God. And as we come together and He deepens our understanding and our experience, He will, in fact, get bigger, stronger, louder, and more sovereign in our understanding. That's what we need. That's what He's going to do, because He will be faithful to His word. We're not wondering what God's going to do. We're confident God is going to do something pretty special in our midst over these next 2 weeks, 2 months, because of what He is up to through His Spirit and through His Word. So what are we going to do? We're going to do that by deepening our understanding. So here's how I would like us to see this series. I'd like us to see it in the context of the greatest command. This was an interesting thing that crossed my mind over the course of this past couple months as we've been thinking and praying about this. When Jesus was challenged, tried to be trapped at one point, He was asked a question. Jesus, which is the most important commandment? You see, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Israel at the time, had debated 613 different commands, 248 positive, 365 negative commands. Huge debates, 613. All right, Jesus, which one? Name one. Jesus said, all right, I will. This is it. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then you can tack on, love your neighbor as you want to be loved yourself. That's it. One command. That's it. The biggest, most important thing coming out of the mouth of Jesus said this. That's the biggest command. That's it. Love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's every part of our being, our bodies, our minds, our souls, every bit of us, to love Him fully all. I don't think there would be a lot of argument this morning if I were to suggest that worship is a synonym for love. Because you see, we love what we worship and we worship what we love. And so I don't think it's a stretch that God is calling us to worship Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God is calling us to deepen our understanding of what that means. That means God's going to call us to worship Him, to praise Him, which He is completely worthy of, with every bit of our spirit, our soul, our minds, and our bodies. It's all there. And that's what God's going to do. A man named John Piper, a pastor and a teacher, speaker, been around, he makes this statement. Worship is both the fuel and the goal of mission. Worship is the fuel and the goal of mission. You see, we in our worship come to know God as big and loud and strong in our waves. And also we realize we love people. We love our neighbors. We love our friends. We love our families that don't know our God yet. And we want them to know, in the middle of the waves that are going to come in their lives in 2018, we want them to know a big, loud, strong God too. It's not something that is sort of forced upon us to share Jesus and God with our friends. It's something that, how can we not help do this? When we have tasted His strength, His love, and His power in the midst of our waves, how can we not want that for our neighbors? And that takes place as we worship. And it takes place in a special way as we worship together. Something happens very special when we worship one-on-one, no doubt, no question. But there is a uniqueness and a specialness to what God does when we worship together. So that's something of the what is going to happen over the course of these 2 months. God is going to deepen our collective understanding and experience of what it means to praise him and worship him. But I'm very thankful that God just doesn't leave us with the what. He gives us a how. He doesn't leave us with a mystery. Well, God, how do you want us to do this? How do you want us to worship you? Please, we need help. This does not come natural to us. We need help. God knew that. He said, okay, I'm not going to give you just one word. I'm not going to give you just 2 words or 3 words or 4 words or 5 words or 6 words. I'm going to give you 7 words. As I communicate my truth through the Hebrew language in the Old Testament, which we all believe the inspired word of God is the word that God has breathed. And he breathed into the Hebrew language 7 words. And this is the how. How do we do this? And the first Hebrew word is yada. You want a quick little Hebrew? Repeat after me. Yada. There you go. You got your first Hebrew word down. And it sounded as well as I can understand when it took me 3 times to get through my Hebrew seminary time. But yada. So the Hebrew word yada means to revere. It means to worship. It means to extend your hands. And it means to hold out your hands. Because you know when the Hebrews first used that word yada, it describes somebody throwing a stone. Somebody threw a stone, and God said, there's the action. Or to shoot an arrow. Again, to shoot an arrow or to throw a stone, left hand. If you want to do right, you can throw right. Left is better, but right if you have to. But anyway, keep in mind, this is a Hebrew word about casting a stone. It has physicality involved in the word. Throw a stone, shoot an arrow, arms and hands up. That's the Hebrew word. This is not a Chris Tomlin idea. This is not a Darren Whitehead idea. They put it together in a wonderful book. It's not their idea. We are not following a human book. We are following the word of God. And the Hebrew word says yada. The word extend your hands. But it also means this. It means confession. One of the primary meanings of the Hebrew word yada is confession. Turn to Psalm 32, verse 5. David, a man after God's own heart, king of Israel, commits not only adultery, but he commits murder. After that all goes down with Bathsheba and Uriah, this is what David says to God. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Keep in mind, this is David after this has happened. This is what's on his heart. You resonate with this, no doubt. Blessed, really happy, deeply joyful is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. Conviction is hard. It's not comfortable. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, did not cover up my iniquity, and I said, I will yada. That's the Hebrew word. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. I will confess. I will yada, is what David said. Fundamental meaning of yada's confession, extending the hands. It's an interesting mix, isn't it? What do people do sometimes when they get caught? When they have to acknowledge that, yes, what you just found me doing is not right. I surrender. The hands are up. You're right. I'm wrong. It's an interesting mix. Confession and extended hands. You're right. I surrender. Another verse that Yada is found in Psalm 44, 6 to 8. By the way, there's 111 uses of yada. We're only going to pick three this morning for the sake of time. But you can do the work and find out what those others are. Get the book. You can read more about it. Psalm 44, 6 through 8. But I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God we will make our boast all day long, and we will yada your name forever. We will praise your name forever. The point David is making here is that there is no boundary of time to our praise of God, to our yada of God. There is no, it's not going to be bounded by time. It will be forever. This is our destiny. If you want to know what you're going to be doing for the rest of your existence, this is it. We're going to be praising God. We're going to yada God. Psalm 67, verses 1 through 3. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, so that our ways, your ways, God, may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples yada you, God. May the peoples praise you. May all the peoples yada praise you. The praise of God is not bounded by ethnicity. All peoples will be praising God. It's one of my favorite scenes, Revelation 7, seen around the throne. There is a representation from every single people group, the face of the planet, will be around that throne. Yadaing God, praising him. Just another reminder that this is not a contemporary new idea, some contemporary new worship movement. The extension of hands in worship, praising him with confession in our hearts. Back in the 1500s, a man named John Calvin, wonderful teacher, reformer, pastor from Switzerland, France. This is what he says. This will come up, I think. We have that up, Brian. There we go. The inward attitude, keep in mind this is written in the 1500s, John Calvin. The inward attitude certainly holds first place, and that's true in all of this. God does not want a show. He wants an integrity of our heart to anything external. Calvin reminds us of that. The inward attitude certainly holds first place in prayer, but outward signs, kneeling, uncovering the head, lifting up the hands, have a twofold use. The first is this, that we may employ all of our members, all of the parts of our body, for the glory and the worship of God. Secondly, that we are to, so to speak, we are jolted out of our laziness by this help. That's one of the blessings and benefits of our bodies being involved in worship. It's true. It jolts us out of our laziness. We may come in here on some Sunday mornings and we just might want to just sit back and just go to sleep. Yes, I recognize this is a nap time for some. But God wants to jolt us out of our laziness sometimes too, with our physicality and our posture in worship. There's also a third use in solemn and public prayer, because in this way the sons of God profess their piety and they inflame each other with reverence of God. That's one of the uniquenesses of doing this together. We inflame each other. You might come in here weak and discouraged and down and kind of focused on yourself. And all of a sudden you see Shelly up here knowing what Shelly is going through, and her hands are up and she's praising God and she's honest, and all of a sudden you think, oh, yes, something happens deep in me because I am inflamed by somebody else in this body that doesn't happen when I'm just by myself. So they inflame each other with reverence of God. But just as the lifting of the hands is a symbol of confidence and longing, so in order to show our humility, we fall down on our knees. We're not going to do that today. That's another Sunday, though. I'm just giving you, keep that in mind. That's another posture we're going to talk about. Just so you know, this has not always been my experience. I was raised at Cherry Hill Baptist Church in Arlington, Virginia, a wonderful church. Preached the Bible. Cindy's grandfather, great-grandfather, more relationships in here than I can count. Pastor of the church, all that. But we did not raise our hands in worship. Just wasn't part of our experience. But then I went to college, in Huntington College in Indiana. I went to some of my friends. I started going to studies with them, and all of a sudden I realized, wow, this is, I hadn't seen that before. Didn't really understand it. Went to a coffee house in Fort Wayne, Indiana called the Adam's Apple. I love that name. And I saw a bunch of people raising their hands. And then I went on two trips overseas playing baseball, being able to share Christ through baseball, two different summers, one in the Philippines and then in Micronesia, Palau, Yap, Panape, and Truk, all those little islands. And all of a sudden I started seeing people worship God in the Philippines and those Micronesian islands, and I thought, wow, I've never seen this before. And it was something interesting and important. And then I came back, and then I went to Urbana in 89, the Global Missions Conference put on by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in Illinois. 19,000 college students, most of them raising their hands in worship. And I thought, yeah, that's when my hands started to go up at different points in time. And then I came home, went to a study in D.C. called TAG, Take and Give, with Larry Tomczak and C.J. Mahaney, back in the day at Christ Church on Mass Avenue in Northwest. And all of a sudden, I started to realize God is doing his thing, and there's some new things going on outside of my personal experience that he's been up to and are, in fact, very, very biblical. So that's part of what's going to happen over these next couple months. You're going to be encouraged, if it's not comfortable for you, to do something maybe different, physicality, with your body in worship. You're not forced. Do not feel forced in any way, shape, or form. But I do encourage you to try it. Because we're all going to kind of be in it together. And then after that, it's really up to you and the Spirit of God. Know this, first and foremost. Shelley, Mary, myself, anybody else, we do not think of ourselves as the primary change agents in your life. We don't feel like we need to do something to get you to change. We have complete confidence in the Spirit of God and the Word of God, for him to do his work in your heart in his time. So we're going to let that happen. We're just going to encourage you, but we're confident the Spirit of God is going to tell you what to do in his time and his way. And we're going to trust him for that.